Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Please be seated. Thank you for joining us, everyone that is here with us in this room today and those that are online. We're very excited to have you. This is an amazing day and amazing things are happening. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so one or two little notes I'm going to push out to you here before we get. I'm going to spend some time in the Word of God today. You know, this is still Resurrection Week. It's the culmination of Resurrection Week. And for our resurrection service last Sunday, I told you, I came here to preach a different message. But when I got on the pulpit, the Lord took over my message, put it aside, and I preached His message last Sunday. So this Sunday, I'm going to preach my message, if that's all right. Can I preach my message today? I mean, it's still His message that He gave, but the one He wanted to preach last Sunday was different. So we preached that. So now I'm going to preach the one I prepared to minister last Sunday. And I'm going to take you through the Word, actually. It's going to be quite some teaching because it's going to be a lot of foundational things that I'm going to be putting out there as we slowly get into talking about the divine, I call it divine dunamis. And that's just talking about the power of Almighty God and how that power works in the body of Christ today. This is something that is not popular anymore. I think sometimes I feel like we have made the church sometimes now appears like we're just a glorified social gathering. Like, you know, we do everything else that they do in the social gatherings. But then, you know, it's glorified because we put the Bible. And then we sing. And then we pray. But there's no power. And there are no manifestations. There's no glory. And that's not the will of God. Amen? So I'm going to be taking us back to some of our roots, the foundation of our faith, and talking a lot about the resurrection power of the Almighty God that creates changes in our lives that will usher us into the places that the Lord has prepared for us. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. But one or two notes first. First, I want to talk about Ukraine aid and support. So thank you very much for joining us last Sunday as we launched the Ukraine aid and support. We were very blessed by it. Amen. Were you blessed to be a part of it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. There's a little testimony that came with that, and I want to just briefly share that. I want to say something about it because I think it will encourage your faith greatly. I think it will energize your faith greatly. All right, so at the time that, after receiving direction and as we launched, we said we were going to launch on Resurrection Sunday, I also told you there were three organizations that we were going to partner with. And in my heart, just like every financial project we do around this ministry, in my heart, in the place of prayer, I usually tend to have a number in mind when we do this faith project. And so for Ukraine, even though it's an ongoing thing, every month, you know, we're going to continue the collections. But for the day of the launch itself, I really did have a number, a figure in my mind, in my spirit, I should say, because we were going to partner with these three organizations. But I never mentioned this number to anyone. I never said a word about it. In fact, I was telling Pastor Tinu, I did not even pray about it. This is the power of the supernatural, the way it works. I did not even pray about it. I didn't spend any moment saying, Lord, you know, this is the number in my heart, Lord, so please help us, you know, just touch those who are not feeling like it, move on them, breathe on them, Holy Spirit, fire. Put fire in their wallets. Lord, and when we do the aid, Lord, those who are sleeping,
push them, wake them up, angels.
I did not even pray about it. But in my heart, somewhere in my heart, and you know, the Lord, the Bible says he grants you the desires of your heart when you delight yourself in it. There's something you and the Lord have. Many believers don't realize this. There's something we have with the Lord is a very sacred thing. That sometimes even our unspoken thoughts are apparent to him. God will even take extra steps to meet needs that you have not verbalized to him. Hallelujah. And so I had that thought. And as we did the fundraiser, praise God, I got a report. I think it was Tuesday. I'm not sure, Tuesday. And we were $1,000 short of that number. And I was not disappointed, honestly, because, again, like I said, I did not even pray about it. I was not disappointed. I was just thankful that we launched it and we can do our own part in helping the people of Ukraine. That's our part. And I told you last Sunday, God is not looking at the need. He's looking at your seed. Amen. There's no pressure. None of us is responsible by ourselves to single-handedly build the kingdom of God. Just do your part. That's why the tithe is so powerful. Because your tithe could be $1, it could be $100, it could be $1,000,000. It doesn't matter. God is not looking at the need, he's looking at your seed. And what he blesses is your seed when you give it. When you give that seed, it blesses it. People say, like I think Pastor Tino was saying during there, some people say, I've never seen, I've been tired. You don't know. If you say you have not seen, then you need deliverance. Because he said he will rebuke the devourer. The mere fact that you are sitting alive in your right mind is evidence God kept the devourer away from you. Do you know how many devourers would have destroyed you? Amen. And it's not any of the protection that we have, natural protection, that are responsible for where we are. Anyway, so it's our seed. God is blessing our seed with the harvest. Anyway, so after I got the report and we thank God for it, and immediately we disbursed on Wednesday morning, we disbursed to those organizations. There are three organizations. I told you about them. There's KCM, there is Operation Blessing, and there's CORE. CORE is the organization run by Sean Penn. So Wednesday morning, disbursed all the funds and, you know, just thank God I moved on to the next thing and went on my merry way. On Thursday morning, one day after all the funds were sent out, on Thursday morning, we got a $1,000 seed. Listen to this now, listen. We got a $1,000 seed from a ministry in the Midwest. It's a ministry, it's not an individual. From a ministry in the Midwest that has never given financially to this ministry, ever. We got $1,000. And that made up that sacred desire that the Lord was aware of. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody give him the praise. Just give him the glory. Hallelujah. 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 We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We serve a supernatural God. Let me tell you, don't limit him. In your life, don't limit him to what you know. Don't limit him to what you have. Don't limit him to your limits. I mean, I would never have imagined in a million years that this ministry in the Midwest, well, I mean, we know many ministries, so. But that thing God assured you of, if he has to unearth, if he has to shift, if he has to move everything around to bring it to you, he will do it. If he looks close by and he can't find, he will go far away. I said he will go far away. That thing the Lord assured you of, he has every ability, he has every grace to bring it to fruition. Somebody shout yes. Say, my God can do that. My God can do that. He's a supernatural God. There is nothing too difficult for him. I tell you, when men begin to say it's difficult, it's impossible, God said, this is a job for El Shaddai. Just make room. Let's make room. When Peter said to Jesus, oh, I've tried all night, I caught nothing, Jesus said, put that thing into the deep. Make room for El Shaddai. Put that thing into the deep. It's the same deep where he put that thing before, and he said he caught nothing. But this time, when he put it in the deep, based on the word of El Shaddai, guess what? Fish came from everywhere. I think fish came from America. Fish came from Africa. Fish came from everywhere to fill that net. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Whatever God needs to do to bring to manifestation the word that he spoke you, he is not limited by man. He is not limited by space. He is not limited by what we know. He's the can-do God. Shout hallelujah, somebody. So he did, amen. So he did, and we're thankful. So keep that in your spirit. Ukraine aid will continue. Once or so every month, I would remind you. So if you want to give that month, give, and then towards the end of that month, we will send what. Until the conflict is over, we will do that. Amen. And the Lord will help us. Just wave your hand. Say, thank you, Jesus. Say, Lord, we're so thankful to you. You are so faithful. You are so loving. You are so kind. How could we ever repay you for all the good that you've done for us? Lord, we owe you with everything. We owe you with our entire lives. We are forever indebted to you for your love, your mercy, your grace over our lives. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Let's talk about the divine reality of the resurrection. I have a few scriptures here. There are three irrefutable truths about the resurrection of Christ. And every believer needs to not just be aware of this, but you need to fully embrace this and fully expect that these truths are manifestly working in your life. That these truths are working, they are current, they are active, and they are working in your life. I call them the three irrefutable truths about the resurrection of Christ. The very first one, Jesus did suffer and die in our place. I want you to hear this, please. Please, I don't want you to relate with this message. This is the foundation of every message about power, every message about glory, every message about supernatural things God can do in your life, this is the foundation for it. I want you to hear me clearly by the help of the Holy Spirit, and I want you to fully embrace it. I want you to receive it in your spirit being, and I want you to embrace it. Don't hear me, please. Don't hear me with your religious mind. Don't tune me out if I'm reading familiar scriptures. I want you to hear me deep in your spirit. Because this is the if this truth we talk about from the word of God today, if they become a manifest and a clear revelation to you, my friends, you are set forever. Amen. You are set forever. The first one, Jesus did suffer and die in our place. Jesus did suffer and die in our place. He was the perfect substitute for us. He was the perfect substitute for us. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, let's read from verses 4 to 8. Isaiah 53 from verses 4 to 8. Look at what he says. He says, surely he has borne our griefs and he has carried our sorrows. Oh, Jesus. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and he was afflicted. I want you to look at all these words. Because any of these words that you see the Bible describe was ours, but that Jesus took, it means there is no reason for us to have it again, ever. If the Bible says it was ours, but then Jesus took it, then it means there is no reason for that to ever be ours again, ever. He said, he bore our griefs. So if he bore our griefs, that means we can't have grief anymore. That means we are done forever with grief. He carried our sorrow. If he carried your sorrow, that means you can't have that same sorrow anymore. That means there is no room for that sorrow in your life anymore. He says, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Afflicted. He uses a few other words here. Look at the next verse, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. The word transgression there is the original Hebrew word rebellion. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. If there was ever a season of rebellion in your life, and all of us have had our seasons of rebellion, and Jesus went to the cross and paid the price. What was the price? He was wounded. The word wounded means, is the same word, he was slain. He was killed. He was killed mercilessly. If Jesus was wounded for our rebellion, if he was wounded for our transgression, it means there is no room for any more wound in your life. There is no room for any more wound in your life. It is a lie of the devil for the enemy to whisper to you that the wounds you are dealing with, the grief you are dealing with, is a result of your rebellion, is a result of something you did, is a result of something somebody else did. That is a lie of the devil, because Jesus already took. He paid the price for your wound. He paid the price for your rebellion. So there's no more wound. Every wound has been healed. Somebody say, every wound has been healed. Now, you might see a scar, but look on your body. Everywhere on your body there are scars. If you don't have scars, I mean you drop from heaven. Every human being has scars. Your scars remind you of what God did for you. Your scars, somebody look at me real close. Look right here. Look at my head. Look at my face. There is a scar right here underneath my lip. Right here. The older I've grown, the more it's faded. When I was much younger, it was more pronounced. It's a scar. It's a bad scar. I was 7 years old. I was sleeping on the same bed with my father. Unfortunately, my father had some broken bottles beside his bed and forgot to clear them before leaving for work. I rolled over in my sleep and fell on the broken bottles face down, and my entire chin was cut. Sutured back together. The thing was completely split. That scar is there. It will never leave. But you know what? I feel no pain. Amen. There is no pain on that scar. Amen. It is there to remind me how God delivered me from something that would have taken my life. I understand I almost died from it. Every human being has scars. You just look, don't just, even those of you who put, you know, all these things, you... All this. I don't know if that's what it's called. And the more you use, the more of it you use, the more we know you are trying to hide something from us. Somebody say, preacher, go back to your preaching. Go back to the Bible. Yeah, right. The more of it you use, the more we know that we have to be very careful what we think about what you are hiding. Because we are not seeing the real thing. Oh, wow. The church is getting quiet. Hallelujah. Let's move on. Where was Isaiah 53? Let's move on to the New Testament. Oh, my goodness. This is not sweet anymore. All right. Let's move on. Now, Jesus took your wounds, but he left you with the scars. The scars remind you of what the Lord delivered you from. But your scars are powerless. There is no pain in your scar. There's no pain here. Any area of your life where God delivered you from something, where God restored you from something, where God did something to miraculously save you, the evidence will always be there. But there's no pain in that evidence. The only pain you will ever experience in your life is the pain you allow the enemy to lie to you about. If you allow the devil to lie to you about the real significance of your scars, then you carry pain that you have no reason to carry. There are people who are regretting. They regret their youth. They regret their adolescent years. They regret steps they took. They regret something that happened in their life. They live this life and cycle of regret because the devil has trapped them. And yet, in Isaiah 53, one of the things the Lord, I'm going to go back there. One of the things the Lord did, allowed to be done to Jesus, he allowed him to be restrained. I'll show you that Hebrew word in just a minute. He allowed Jesus to be restrained. You know, the significance of the cross is not just pain. It's all of that, yes, plus. But there is restraint on the cross. When you nail somebody to the cross, there are ways we can break free. You can break free using your hands. You can break free using your legs. You can break free from your feet. They nailed every part of him to that cross so he could not get off of it. That restraint that Jesus experienced for you represents every bondage that Satan will try to bring into your life today. There is no bondage that has the ability or the power to restrain a child of God. There is no such bondage. Look around your life. Anything that is restraining you, anything that is keeping you in a straight jacket, anything that is keeping you where you cannot be free, you can't live free, you can't walk free, you can't laugh, you can't be happy, you can't be joyful. It is a tool of the enemy, and Jesus already took it away. He took away your wounds for your rebellion. He said he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. We are healed. And with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes. That word chastisement, the chastisement of our peace, that chastisement is a restraint. That is, when they nailed him to the cross and he couldn't get off himself, he did that to take your place and to take my place. Listen to me, child of God. The devil is going to do so many things in your life if you let him. The devil will even lie to you that God is the one doing something in your life. Have you heard people say God is teaching them something through sickness? Have you heard people say, the reason I have this sickness, God is not trying to teach you anything through sickness. Jesus already took your sickness. Because let me tell you this, if you buy into the lie that God is trying to teach you something through sickness, then you will never have the faith that is required to break free from it. You will always be double-minded about it. Because there will be a part of you saying, oh, God is trying to teach me something. There'll be a part of you saying, but I want to be free from it. There'll be another part saying, well, if God is trying to teach me something, why be free from it? Because God is trying to teach. You will never have, the Bible says, a double-minded man can never receive anything from the Lord. Unstable enough. So, the devil's way is to lie to you. The part of what you deal with, God did that. No, God is not doing that. I tell you what God did. This is why this needs to be a revelation. Am I boring you guys? No. I know time is really going. But is are you hearing me with your spiritual ears? You hear people whose children died. They say, God killed my child. Somebody, a hurricane came through town, blew off their home. Say, oh, God destroyed my house. I was too happy in that house. I was too comfortable. God took it away. God is not in the business of afflicting his people with sorrow. Satan is the origin. He's the originator and he's the source of all sorrow. And I just want you to know, before I leave Isaiah 53, I just want this to become a revelation to you that Jesus already took everything. He took everything. I say Jesus took everything. Hallelujah. There was a woman whose son had just died. They were wheeling him to the funeral. And Jesus ran into them. And the Bible says he saw the mother weeping. And because of the sorrow of the mother, he raised up the son. God is not in the business of afflicting his people with sorrow. He said the devil, the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But he said, but I am come that what? That they may have life and have it how? Have it how? More abundantly. He said there in verse 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened up. Do you know why Jesus did not open his mouth when he was oppressed? Do you know why Jesus did not appeal to Pilate when they were afflicting him? Do you know why he did not raise up all the reasons why he should have been set free? When they asked for Barabbas in his place, do you know why Jesus didn't, why he didn't revolt against the idea of it? He saw he could take your place. Yeah. Listen to this. This is one of the most powerful things you can learn about your Christian faith. It suffer an irrefutable truth about the resurrection of Christ is that Jesus did suffer and die in your place. He was the perfect substitute for you and for me. He never did sin. He never did wrong. But he suffered like he did. I'm sorry I'm preaching to you. I'm supposed to be teaching this. So forgive me. I'll calm myself down my last 30 minutes here. It's just very exciting to me. He said he's brought forth as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearer is dumb. So he did not open his mouth. Jesus became dumb. He became dumb. He could talk, but he said, do you have something to say? Well, don't you know I can save you? Don't you know I have the power? He only responded to him, said, no, you couldn't have the power unless God gave it to you. That's it. He was dumb for me, and he was dumb for you. All the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary. Oh, he said he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? Look at this. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Yeah. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He was cut off. Do you know? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Do you know his mother was standing right there at the foot of the cross when they were crucifying him? He was cut off. Natural biological seed that could have come through his life to their family was totally cut off through his crucifixion. This is one of the reasons why our covenant with God is so powerful, because in Satan's mind, everything begins in the natural. In God's mind, everything begins in the spiritual. The spiritual seed has the upper hand over the natural seed. That's why the Bible says, God told them, he said, your seed will bruise his head and he will bite your heel. He was talking spiritually. We today became the seed of Abraham through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus did not have any biological child. He never needed to have a biological child. He was cut off. His generation was cut off by his crucifixion. Yet through that crucifixion, we became initiated into the family of God. You and I became small Jesuses upon the earth. Hallelujah. He said, who will declare his generation? He said, yet, in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Listen now. Oh, Jesus. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his. Where is that seed coming from? Is it coming because Jesus had a wife and they bore children? Where is that seed coming from? Is the spiritual seed, the seed of the woman, hallelujah, because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman has been guaranteed eternal prosperity, eternal prosperity. He said, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Amen. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their many iniquities. I'm going to try to close here today. It's number one, irrefutable truth. I have three of them. But I'm feeling like it's a good place to try to wrap up today and close. I want this to become a revelation to you. Jesus suffered and died in your place and in my place. I don't care whatever symptom. Listen, the Bible says, by his stripes, we are healed. Let me ask you, did he already feel the stripes? I said, did he already feel the stripes? So then, are you already healed?
Yes.
Very simple. We are not trying to get, we are already healed. By his side, because he already bore the stripes, therefore we are already healed. Amen. I don't care what the symptom is. Heart attack, heart failure, collapse of the kidneys, collapse of the lungs, or whatever it is. My question is, did Jesus already take the stripes? If Jesus already took the stripes, then are you healed already?
Yes.
Because it is by his stripes that we are healed. This is a revelation of his resurrection. We have to receive this. We have to receive it. Now let me tell you, it's not going to be that easy. It's going to be a fight. Many times it's going to be a fight. But beloved, you can win this fight. Yes. This fight, like Joyce Meyer used to say, the battlefield, the greatest battlefield is in the mind. This fight is already won, but Satan wants to fight that fight afresh in our minds. Because if we can lose it in our minds, then we will lose the victory. It is in our minds. When the pain comes to my knee, I have to have trained myself for years and years and years to believe that by his stripes, I'm already healed. I do not train myself for years and years and years to believe that the only way I get relief for my knees is through surgery. Surgery might help. Surgery could produce some relief. Surgery could actually help correct a problem. Surgery might be the way the Lord leads me to go. But for years and years and years, I've got to assure myself and remind myself and establish that truth in my heart that by his stripes I am healed. So if the symptom comes up on my knee, if the pain comes up on my knee, my knee jerk reaction is not to go and get surgery tomorrow because I want this. I want to be, no. My knee-jerk reaction is to get in the word, is to get in my room and to say, by the stripes of Jesus. And even though the symptom might still exist, long after I started saying it, I might continue to feel the pain. I might continue to see that it's not changing. But listen, the word of God is infallible. Everything else will change, but the word of God will never change. For years, I have to train myself to believe that something is changeable and something is not. And what is not changeable is the word of God. What is changeable is what I see. What is changeable is what I'm feeling. What is changeable is what the report said. What is changeable is what the document read. But what is not changeable is the word of God. The word says, by his stripes, I'm healed. I'm telling you now how every elbow joint is healed. Every elbow pain, shoulder pain, lung pain, heart pain, every single one, you are healed. You are healed. And you just keep saying it. You just keep saying it. As you are using your medication, you just keep saying it. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm healed in by his stripes, I'm the healed of the Lord. By his stripes, I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm not the sick, I'm the healed. I'm not the sick, I'm the healed. Satan say, you are sick. You are feeling pain. You don't feel good. It's true. I don't feel good. But I know by his stripes, I have been healed. Yeah, you know, sometimes it's even difficult to pray. When you are in the midst of that valley, God knows it. I'm telling you, God knows it. Because his son has been there. His son has been there. When he hung on that cross, all he could say, you remember towards the end? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My father, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knows the pain that people carry when they go through the valley of the shadow of death. That's why the Bible says, he says, we have such a high priest. We have not a high priest who has not been tested. He's been tested in every way that we are, yet without sin. So he's able to bear with the feelings of our infirmities because he's experienced the same thing. He knows the pain. When we go through where our faith is tested, when it looks like we have been abandoned by our Father, and when it looks like the covenant is not producing, when it looks like we have stood all our life and believed what he said, and yet is not producing, he knows because he experienced it on the cross. He experienced it on that cross. But did he experience it so that you can experience it again? He experienced it so you can remember him on that cross. Yes. You can remember what he took for you. Yes. And when you remember what he took for you, that you can stand your ground and say, I just believe it. Listen, one day I'm going to have a word from the Lord for you. I'm going to listen to this with your spiritual ears. One of these days, many of you have heard some of these things. You've heard them for many years. but you haven't fully received the revelation of it. Some of you have even become so familiar with it that it's not really different anymore. But one of these days, you are going to need to lay hold on this revelation, because you would need it to make it through the valley of the shadow of death. That's a word from the Lord for you. It's a word of the Lord for you. Start today. Don't wait. Start today. Start training yourself. Don't wait until the storms come. Don't wait until the problems come. Start training yourself. Start training yourself. By His stripes I'm healed. The chastisement of my peace was placed upon Him. He was restrained on the cross so that my life will never be restrained. Jesus. So my life will never be restrained. So anything that is trying to restrain me, that is trying to hold me in a straitjacket, trying to stop me from celebrating the destiny of God for my life, trying to stop me from entering into the greater realms of purpose that God has created. You have no place. You have no right. You have no authority, because Jesus was restrained on the cross for me so that I will never be restrained. I cannot be restrained. I cannot be restrained. You stand to your feet. Come on, let's close. Stand to your feet, let's close. Say that He was restrained on the cross. I can never be restrained. I can never be restrained. Do you remember those words when He said, "Loose him and let him go"? Loose him and let him go. He spoke those words to a man. And those words are just as relevant to you and to me today as they were when He spoke them concerning Lazarus. Loose him. On what basis? Because He already took our place. He was already restrained for us. The reason Jesus was restrained on the cross is so that our lives will never be restrained. The reason He gave up His freedom, and He didn't argue with Pilate. He acted like a dumb man. The reason He did was so that you and I can have the boldness and the authority to say, "Satan, get thee behind me now." So when we see Him working and we see Him moving, we don't succumb to Him. We don't keep our silence. We don't try to agree that what He said or what He's trying to do is the last and the final word. I choose to believe the word of God. I choose to believe the word of God. I choose to believe the word of God. The curse costless shall not come. There's no room for any curse to be able to plague your life. You are redeemed from every curse. The Bible says, Christ, Galatians 3, 13 and 14, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is every man that hangs upon the tree. Verse 4, so that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles, and they can receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You are blessed, you cannot be cursed. You are blessed, you cannot be cursed. The curse cannot operate around your life. Jesus already took you out of the curse zone. The curse cannot operate. It cannot. I don't care. I don't care where it is sent from. The curse cannot function in your home. It can't function in your life. It can't function in your abode. You are redeemed from every curse. Jesus. I told you about Inga last week. Inga was the young woman who will go to bed at night and she will wake up. There's no other adult. She had two little boys. No other adult. She will wake up in the morning with bites, animal bites, and scratches all over her body. Spiritual, demonic objects will creep in the middle of the night into her home and afflict her life and torment her. I don't know how she's doing spiritually today, but I do know long before she moved out of the area, this became a revelation to her when we ministered to her. You are redeemed from every curse of the law. You are redeemed from every curse. Those spiritual animals have no right. And I remember saying, the next time you get up, you feel even the slightest. You get up, you stand your ground, and you speak. You have no right. You have no place. In the name of Jesus, I raise up the standard of the word of God against you, and I command you, get out of here now. This is not a preacher who's going to come and do it for you in your house. You will have to do it yourself. And when it became a revelation to her at the time, and she started to do it, I'm telling you, God set her free completely, 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 completely. There is no curse that has a power over you. Let's close. Let's thank God today that Jesus took our place on the cross. He was the perfect substitute for us. Jesus was the perfect substitute for us. Jesus was the perfect substitute for us. Thank you, Jesus, for being the perfect substitute for me. Thank you, Jesus. The chastisement of my peace was placed upon you. Thank you, Jesus. The same resurrection power that raised you from the dead dwells within my life today. That resurrection power is bringing back to life every dying cell in the name of Jesus. Is bringing back to life every dying bone. Is bringing back to life every dying nerve in the name of Jesus. Every dying system in the name of Jesus. The God who calls the things that be not as though they were. The God who quickens the dead. The God who gives life to the dying things. That same God lives within me, lives within you today. He is breathing the life of God upon you. So you take that life. You manifest the reality of that life in the name of Jesus. You stand your ground. You believe the word of God, that everything that God has spoken concerning you will become a manifested reality. It's not just a theoretical thing. It's not just a religious thing. It is the reality of the word of God, and it will be established in your life in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Any sickness anywhere, anywhere under the sound of my voice, speak to that sickness. Speak to that symptom right now. It's your voice, it's your tongue. Do it. I've been speaking to it for you. Been speaking on your behalf. You speak now, it's your tongue. Anywhere you're hearing me, anywhere you're joining this service, wherever, speak to it now in the name of Jesus. You speak to it. In the name of Jesus. Come on. You take authority over it right now. You take authority over it right now. In the name of Jesus. Everything that is trying to restrain you, everything that is trying to keep you bound up, Everything that is trying to keep you hold up, you speak to it in the name of Jesus. Jesus was restrained on the cross. He was restrained on the cross so that I can have total freedom. And the Bible says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And if the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed. I want you to speak, whether it's financial, whether it's material, whether it's relational, whether it's as health, whether it's emotional, anything that is trying to restrain you, I want you to take your ground, stand your ground, take your place, and you declare it in the name of Jesus. And don't stop speaking in this service. When you leave, keep on speaking. When you are home, keep on speaking. When you are driving in your car, keep on speaking. Don't stop speaking. When you sit at your desk at work or wherever you work, whether you work virtually or whatever, wherever, speak. Keep on speaking. Keep on speaking. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63. He said, the flesh profited nothing. The flesh profited nothing, he said. He said, but it is the Spirit that gives life. And he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when you take the word of God upon your mouth, it is like taking a pill that a doctor gave you. When you put the word of God upon your mouth, he said, that word carries life. It's a pill that carries life. So when you speak that word, it's medicine. When you speak it over your mind, you speak it over your heart, you speak it over your lungs, you speak it over your bones, you speak it over your limbs, your hands, every part of you. The Bible says it's medicine. It carries the life of God. And it works. And it works. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name, O God. We thank you, precious Savior. You are worthy of our praise, Lord. You are worthy of our glory. So receive it to yourself. Receive it. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Go on and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Let's bless his holy name. Let's bless his holy name. He deserves the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Father.